In one of the many sacred stories about the founder of Hasidic Judaism, a rabbi known by the title Baal Shem, we find the Baal Shem trying to pray the moon out from behind a thick cloud. In Judaism, the passing of time is measured by the cycles of the moon. Each month ends when the moon goes dark in the sky. And in some traditions, the end of each month is accompanied by a time of fasting and penitence, and thus the appearance of a tiny sliver of moon the next night marks the beginning of a new month and is cause for celebration. In this tale, the Baal Shem sat worrying over the persistent darkness of the sky, knowing that he could not say the required blessing of the moon until it appeared. Time would stand still. All that waited for renewal and celebration would go on waiting. The Hasidim, the community of faithful who followed the Baal Shem's teachings, didn't know that their beloved leader sat alone in his room, distraught over his inability to bring about the required miracle. Not knowing the Baal Shem's grief, the community joined hands in the front room of his house and began to dance, celebrating the promise of the month ahead. As Martin Buber puts it in his retelling of the story, when their holy delight mounted higher and higher, they invaded the Baal Shem's chamber, still dancing. Overwhelmed by their own frenzy of happiness, they took him by the hands as he sat there sunk in gloom, and drew him into the round. At this moment, someone called outside. The night had suddenly grown light. In greater radiance than ever before, the moon curved on a flawless sky. Even one as wise and faithful as the Baal Shem could not call forth the moon by himself. Even one as persistent and powerful as he could not carry the experience of renewal and celebration alone. Religious community provides glimpses of the sublime that we cannot manage alone. At its best, religious community makes the transcendent tangible. Queer feminist theologian Carter Hayward describes the transcendent as the eternally creative source of our relational power, our common strength. In community, something happens between our individual lives. There's a kind of pull, a tension that holds us together, each to each, and each to all, as Victoria Safford put it. I have been part of this congregation, this religious community, for about 7 months now. And one of my greatest joys still since arriving is trying to get to know each of you individually. And at the same time as someone new among us, I'm still trying to piece together who we are as a collective, our history, where we've been and who we are now, what commitments have been carried forward in this community since it was started. And in part, you begin to get a sense of a community by hearing some of its stories. These stories sometimes show the values and personality of a congregation. And this week I heard one such story from someone who's been a member here for over 40 years. A story that gave me another glimpse into the nature of this community that I'm joining my life to. In the early 1980s, this congregation committed to raising the money and patience to undergo an extensive construction project, culminating with the addition of the sanctuary we're sitting in now. And I heard this week how congregants had poured themselves into raising enough money for the addition and renovations. But when all was said and done, there wasn't enough left over for the landscaping. And the updated building was surrounded by this unsettled, tilled up earth from the tumult of construction. But somehow or other, the word went out to members of the congregation that they should gather here on an upcoming Saturday and bring flowers or other plants with them to donate to the grounds. And lo and behold, more than enough people showed up with their plants in hand. A few took charge as to where these plants and those plants should go, and everyone dug and planted and watered together. And by the end of the day, new things were growing in the once unsettled ground. And it was easier to believe that this newly renovated building was a place that could house the day in and day out of community. People showed up that Saturday to nurture a collective experience, the coming together of our lives. I imagine this was one of many times when people of this congregation came together to strengthen and sustain the kind of community that outlives particular individuals or moments in time. I imagine that Saturday spent digging and planting was one of many moments when our members worked to strengthen a collective experience that would go on to hold people some of them would never know. I know that this is just one story from our collective past, but it solidifies a bit more for me something I was beginning to suspect about our congregation. From watching how you prepare for a reception following the memorial service of a member, filling Freeman Hall with flowers and meals that you cooked in your own homes. Something I was beginning to suspect from taking part in conversations with you after an intense evening of class during the week, or after witnessing the moving vulnerability of members standing up to share their spiritual commitments with fellow congregants, to speak aloud what they're giving their hearts to. This story of communal landscaping, of coming together to make up the difference, of replanting, putting down roots in unsettled ground, feels telling to me. It's additional evidence that at our core, there is a covenant of presence. Enough people willing to come together when the way is clear and when the way is uncertain. Being present not only when we feel ready or prepared, but coming together when we feel doubtful and bruised too. As Eileen Carpelli says, may this house be truly a place of meeting. Meeting one with another in warmth and joy and openness. Meeting one with another in courage and love. So that all who enter here trust one another so surely that they dare to share the deep fires that burst into anger, as much as the sweet spring waters that swell into laughter, the slow erosion of wounded tears, as much as the soaring song. When we here learn of a pain or joy that is too much for an individual to carry alone, we speak in prayer of a transcendent love, a larger love that holds them. It's our covenant of presence that makes this transcendent love something we can touch and hear and talk to. Our presence in community is how we take hands and pull one another out of our gloom. And through the dance, remember that no one person is able to carry us through the night alone. I'm so looking forward to learning more of the stories from our past. I'm so looking forward to witnessing and participating in the nurturing of loving community here, continuing to learn what so many of you already know, that when we are present with one another, not once, but again and again, when we allow a loving and imperfect community to carry and hold our name, our heart, and our hand, when we speak and live in the plural, we make transcendent love real. Blessed be. Amen.